Hare Krishna. So it's indeed a very great fortune to have with us today one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. His Grace Prithu Prabhu came into ISKCON in 1972, and since then, for several years, Prabhuji was involved in book distribution, leading Sankirtan parties all over Europe. He was instrumental in setting up the preaching program in Germany and Ireland. And in fact, one of the most beautiful ISKCON temples in the world, which is located in an island in Ireland, was started by him. Prithu Prabhu was a GBC for several years, member of the governing body commission of ISKCON. And now, since the last few years, has been traveling and preaching, retired from management. So we are very, very fortunate to have him with us today over here. So let us welcome him very, very enthusiastically in our traditional style by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Of us, from the older generation, have experienced how Krishna came in very often miraculous ways in our life. I don't want to go into too many details, but beginning with Srila Prabhupada entering my life, there was a whole bunch of instances leading up to that which are quite astounding, actually, how Krishna drags a soul to his service. I remember when I was saw Srila Prabhupada the first time, it was in 1972. Most of you were old women and old men at that time. You were very old and I was very young. And we received Srila Prabhupada at the airport in Amsterdam. And I knew the airport because I came in the day before and I knew where Srila Prabhupada would come out of the immigration. So I went ahead. The devotees had a huge kirtan in the hall. And there was Srila Prabhupada waving me, smiling. I lifted up my camera. I made a photo. And that was my first impression. He was so happy to see me and he smiled in such a wonderful way. He passed by and I experienced so many wonderful contradictory emotions between laughing and crying and trembling, and it was a very unusual experience. And the most amazing thing was that prior to meeting Srila Prabhupada, I tried very hard to understand Srila Prabhupada's Bengali. I knew English, but it was not easy. There was many words. I remember I listened to a lecture in the morning before we went to the airport. Even then, I could only understand half of it because I was a young devotee at that time. I was 3 months in the movement. And so then Srila Prabhupada spoke in the VIP lounge of the Schiphol airport, and I was shocked that all of a sudden I could understand every single word. And then I went home and listened to the temple rather, and again I listened to the same lecture I listened in the morning, and it was a miracle. I could understand every single word from one moment to another. It was just like Lord Chaitanya going through the forest of Jharkhand and brings these animals to sing and to dance with each other. So in the same way, Prabhupada had this miraculous power that he was able to make a person who couldn't understand him before all of a sudden understand from one moment to another. That was quite an amazing experience for me. And from that moment on, I could understand every single word Srila Prabhupada was saying. It was just wonderful, a wonderful experience. I remember we went through a park, and there were so many people lovemaking. It was in the 60s, And I looked at the side, and Srila Prabhupada looked at me like this and shook his head. And we went to some apartment. I think we were just three people, Srila Prabhupada, Sivananda, myself, and it was a staircase. And when we went over two stories, and Prabhupada looked up, this huge staircase, and he said, he looked at us, smiled, and said, "Staircase to heaven." And so he walked up. I remember in the park, Srila Prabhupada, in Fondal Park, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture. And there was one journalist, and he was going on the stage, and he made a photo of Srila Prabhupada. Then he went closer to on a stage to Srila Prabhupada. In the end, he wanted to provoke Srila Prabhupada. He was holding his camera right in front of Srila Prabhupada's eyes. And we were so shocked. I was hoping Srila Prabhupada would give me a hint and I would go on stage and beat this man up. But Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything. He just tolerated it and kept lecturing. And then the man left the stairs and somebody grabbed him and gave him a good beating. I know that. Srila Prabhupada was so tolerant. I remember one time, it was in Uppsala University, we had a program, and I was sitting right there, like this devotee. And so I had a first-class look of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was lecturing about the four classes of men, namely Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras. And this was in the 60s. People were unruly and disrespectless students, Western students. So somebody stood up at the question and answer sessions and said to Srila Prabhupada, "Of course you think that you are a first class man, thinking on a high seat, covered with flowers and surrounded by followers sitting at your feet." And I was so angry when I heard this. I was hoping again Srila Prabhupada would give me a sign. Being from Germany, as you all know, in heaven the Germans are the mechanics and in hell the Germans are the policemen. So I was hoping Srila Prabhupada would give me the instruction to beat him up. But Srila Prabhupada was so shocked when he heard this that somebody thought that he would think like this of himself. And he said, "No," like a child. He said, no, "I'm not a first-class man." He said, "Actually, I'm a fifth-class man." And then I saw behind his glasses, two huge tears came down, rolling down his cheeks. And his lips was trembling. And he said, "Because I'm the servant of everyone." And there was a deep, profound silence in the whole room. And the person who spoke like this, everybody looked at him like a demon. And he sat down and was very ashamed that Srila Prabhupada put him to shame with his beautiful answer. And it was true that we realized at that moment that Srila Prabhupada was speaking the truth, that he was really the servant of everyone. He was dasa, 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 and dasa. There was no greater servant to humanity than Srila Prabhupada. He was so kind that he came. People don't even know. I heard from Narottam Gupta. It's not even reported in Lilamrita. I've never heard anybody saying it. That before Srila Prabhupada was living in this temple, I forgot the name, before Radha Damoda, Gopinath or something, I forgot. He was living in Keshigat. Vamsigopal, right. He was living in Keshigat, in one of these caves, when you go by on top of the staircase that leads down to the Yamuna. He was living there. He had no place to go. He was known as Bengal Baba. And Narottam had to treat him. He's an Ayurvedic doctor. And he said, "Swamiji, you're going to die," because he had malaria. He was staying there in winter and in summer. He had no place to go. And he said, "But Krishna doesn't give me a place to go, so this is my place." And so Gupta said, "Swamiji, Prabhu, you will die. Babu, you will die. And so he organized the first place for him. And he told us that sometimes he would go on Chatika Road on the way to Delhi, and he saw Srila Prabhupada on the property, which is now the temple. He would sit under that tree, which is now in the courtyard, the younger tree. But he would sit on that spot, completely alone, and chant Hare Krishna on cuddles. And 20 years later, it became a temple. So we have no idea the enormous amount of austerity Srila Prabhupada performed. I mean, I used to go by Srila Prabhupada's room sometimes at 2 o'clock, and he was translating. I remember one time we visited Srila Prabhupada. We were two devotees from Germany, and we brought some message. And when we left, just before that, we walked on the road, and it was a message that we needed a change in management. There was some discrepancy, and we wrote a letter of a petition to Srila Prabhupada to change the manager who was in charge at that time for the German Yatra. So I remember Srila Prabhupada walked with us on the street, and I stepped on his heel, and he was surprised. He looked back, and he said, "So," he looked at me, because he consented that we had a new manager, and he put his cane on my breast right here, and he pushed me. He said, "Are you now satisfied with this new arrangement?" And I said, "Yes, certainly, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "When will you leave?" He said, "Tomorrow morning." He said, No. "Oh, no," he said, "you have to stay at least for 3 weeks." He said, "Just enjoy the spiritual, the beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan." And so we were so happy that Prabhupada was so kind that he invited us to stay with us. And every day we could listen to his lecture. And when we left in the middle of night, we passed by his house, and the secretary came out. It was Harikesh Prabhu at that time. And he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "We are leaving to the airport." He said, "You should say Srila Prabhupada that you're leaving." I said, "But he must be sleeping." He said, "Well, he never really sleeps. You know, you can go in his room." It was in the middle of night at 1 o'clock, and Srila Prabhupada was lying in bed, and he just moved his lips just a little bit. He said, "Somebody came." It was hardly moving his lips. He was lying in bed. "Somebody came." I said, "Yes." He said, "Who came?" He said, "This is Prithadas and Veda Vyas." He said, "What is happening?" He said, "We are leaving to Germany, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "May Krishna bless you. Thank you very much." And then we left. So it was amazing. In the middle of night when he was sleeping, he was awake. He was not really sleeping like we sleep. He was always with Krishna. He saw Krishna everywhere. And we could see this in the last weeks of Srila Prabhupada. I had some great fortune to be in his room the last 3 weeks for quite extensive times. And one of the last things he told us was he was leaving his body. He made already this sound which is known and described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Gur Gur. So he was fighting to get air. And so at one stage he lifted up his hand very peacefully and asked somebody to massage a particular part of his lungs. And then he said very silently, he said that, and it took a long time to bring it out, he said, "Everything moving and non-moving, there's nothing but Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness." And that is very true. Whatever happens at every moment, there's nothing but Krishna. Everything is under Krishna's control. The lady cannot even get up without Krishna. The gentleman cannot even walk without Krishna. We cannot lift even our hand without Krishna. I cannot even scratch myself without Krishna. He's moving every living being at every moment according to the desire of the living being. Man proposes, God disposes. But whatever happens at every moment is actually Krishna happening. And if you are Krishna conscious, yumam pasyati savatrasa vamchamai pasyati tasyamna pranashyami sachamina pranashyati. Then we can see Krishna everywhere and see everything in Krishna. And one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Therefore we have to love what is, because that what is, the presence, is actually what is manufactured, which is created by Krishna. And we should not resent the present. Rather, we should embrace the present, no matter how pleasant or unpleasant, because the present is Krishna's arrangement. The past is history. The future is a mystery. Nobody knows. But the presence is a present. It's Krishna's present to us. And it is just right for us, based on our karma, based on our conditioning due to our previous activity, we are sitting right now here and living out our past. This body you have right now, the situation you experience right now, is due to your past activities. And so we are fortunate that we can sit here in this room and can hear Krishna Katha, or Katha about Srila Prabhupada. We must have done something right. I asked Srila Prabhupada one time this question. We were standing under the Eiffel Tower. It is true that there's one verse, those who chant the holy name, they have been taking bath in all the holy rivers of India. And we were white boys, so we were asking, we were wondering, have we been in India in our last life? And Srila Prabhupada was smiling and laughed very heartily. 1 second. This is a time. And he said, maybe. He said, maybe, yes. But he said, the truth is that I've created your good fortune. And that is the actual truth of the situation. When if Srila Prabhupada would not have come to the West, where would you be? And where would I be? We wouldn't be sitting here. It is Srila Prabhupada's blessing that we can be, that we are so fortunate to be in this movement, that we can be part of this movement, that we can be part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, to Prithiviti Achyadi Nagarali Grama, to spread the holy name all over the world. It will happen. Right now the world is not interested. No doubt about it. The world is suffering a tremendous identity crisis. Nobody knows who he is. And therefore people try to be somebody else. Indians try to be like Americans. But the truth is that people have forgotten who they are, that they are spirit souls. And so humanity is living, since beginning of humanity, under this identity crisis, that they are not clear who they are. We are spirit souls. We came from the spiritual world. We are residents of the spiritual world. We have landed here on this planet, and we are covered in a universe by 4 million miles of earth, and then 40 million miles of water, 400 million miles of fire, etc., etc. We are buried alive, solidly. And nobody of us will get out here unless we are able to achieve Krishna's mercy. By Krishna's mercy, it is impossible to overcome the material energy by our own strengths. But by Krishna's grace, everything is possible. Everything is possible. Nakamsa locked Devaki and Vasudeva solidly. All the locks were locked. Big iron bars, but Krishna could just put everybody asleep. All the locks opened. The Yamuna gave way. Krishna can do anything. He could lift up a mountain. He can reproduce a coward voice. When Brahma stole the cows away, and the coward boys, he can do it. There's no limits to Krishna's power. He can do anything, and he does everything. The whole world is under his control at every moment, even right now. And he allows people to make fools out of themselves. What we see right now is under Krishna's control. It's Kali Yuga. An age where people do not follow, where people are stubborn and thick-headed. One of the very last things Srila Prabhupada said after that, everything moving and non-moving, one of our devotees gave him medicine, and Prabhupada asked him, "Did you close the bottle?" "No, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "That is your disease." He said, "All of you, you know how to open bottles, but you don't know how to close it." He said, "You start so many things, new things, and you don't see the consequences. You know how to live, but you do not know how to die. And therefore, I have to show you." Now, if you look at modern society, the state of this world, the state of the environment, what is it? We have an environmental catastrophe. We have a chemical pollution. The rivers are polluted. The oceans are polluted. The air is polluted. The forest is polluted. The earth is polluted. The food is polluted. Everything is polluted. The water is polluted. What have we done? Everything was pristine, created in a wonderful way. Purnam, Om Purnam Adaha Purnaminam. Whatever is emanating from the Purnam, from the perfect, is perfect in itself. Nature is a wonderful arrangement. Everything works perfectly. But we are such fools that we open bottles and we don't know how to close them. And so we have an environmental catastrophe, we have a biological pollution, we have chemical pollution, we have a genetic pollution. And all these things have to happen. All this has to happen. The world has to be beaten up solidly before the world comes to its senses. Because this is how Krishna deals with us. Either we go to Krishna voluntarily or Krishna will beat us up. These two choices we have in the material world. You get either beaten up by Krishna or you surrender to Krishna. Beaten up by Krishna is a negative process of learning lessons. Shravanam Kirtanam is a positive process of learning lessons. If we follow the process of devotional service, it is a positive process of learning, and the negative process of learning is by mistakes. The painful part, the painful way of learning. So the world has to learn the painful way, there's no doubt about it. And so we can see, nobody can control the chaos environment. Nobody. People sit to politicians meet all the time. Nobody knows how to turn the wheel back. This world is going to hell. No doubt about it. It's going to be more and more difficult and more hellish to live. But it has to happen. Because Krishna is writing the script to this drama, which is called Kali Yuga. And it has to get very bad before people start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. I mean, we are clever. We are chanting voluntarily. That's clever. Better to chant voluntarily than being forced to chant. Sooner or later, the world will chant. But it has to get worse. Just like before there's childbirth, there's pain. In the same way, the birth of the age of Lord Chaitanya, there will be birth pain. The world will go through large amounts of anxiety. It is predicted by one of the most renowned economical institutions in the United States that has not been wrong in the last 30 years as far as predicting economic trends. that the United States is going to descend into chaos within the next 3 to 5 years, where people will go and put the bread on the table by using guns. Already more than 150,000 people camp outside of Los Angeles in tents because they cannot pay their mortgages anymore. In America, 150,000 people go to work from there, living in tents. So we're going to see it with our own eyes. This is what Prabhupada told us, that you know how to open bottles, but you don't know how to close them. That has been the history of mankind since the beginning. That's why we are here, because we know everything better. Everybody who is here in the material world, he knows everything better. Everybody thinks he's always right, while most of the time people are wrong. As soon as they speak their name, they lie. Because the soul is not called Deepak Chopra or whoever that may be. The soul is a spirit. It's beyond material designation, beyond the upadis. Savupani, Savupari Vinayamuktam. It is stated, we are beyond race, beyond nation, beyond nationality, beyond all these things. We are eternal. We always have been. We always will be. Never was a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor all these beings, kings. Nor will there be a time that we will cease to be. So we are eternal beings. We have been with Krishna an incredible long time. We cannot even imagine how many years we have been with Krishna, serving Krishna. That's why Krishna loves us. Because we have been for immemorial time in the spiritual world. And we are here only, like Srila Prabhupada said, for a very short time. The blinking of an eyelid, Srila Prabhupada one time said. And so Krishna goes with us into the material world. And he hides in our heart. And he's giving us good advice, coming through Guru Parampara and also through conscience. You know inside if you do something wrong. Children know. Innocent people know what's right and what's wrong. A child will cry when it sees how an animal is murdered. He will cry because he knows it is wrong. But when people become old, they become so callous and so dull. Due to sense gratification, they lose all sensitivity towards each other, even towards themselves. Totally out of touch with themselves, totally out of touch with their own spiritual being. They do not know who they are. And so they accept these material identities and in this way don't know why they're here and what they're doing with their lives. You see people rushing on the street. What are they doing with their lives? What is the use of all this? By the end of the day, what is the use? If you chant Krishna's name, this is useful. If you bow down in front of the deity, this is useful. If you fan Krishna, this is useful. If you offer flowers to Krishna, that is useful. If you offer prasadam to Krishna, if you go on Harinam, if you attract other living beings, all these things are incredibly useful to us and to others. They're Krishna's will. Nehabikramanashu sti pratyava yunavidyati svalpama pyasya dhanamasya trayatima tubayat. In this endeavor, there's no loss. In everything else, 100% waste of time. If we try to improve on the material energy, it is a waste of time. We are cheating ourselves and we cheat others. We won't gain. Whatever we gained on the material plane, we have to leave it. You may be rich in this life. In your next life, you will be guaranteed poor. You lose everything. Sometimes we see very poor people. Many of them were very wealthy in their last life, but very greedy and incapable of giving. The more things you take, the less you can give. That's the truth. And the more you give, the more not only will you be able to give, you will also get. The more you give, the more you get. And the more you take, the less you have to give. The more hearts you break, the less you want to live. That is the truth. So in Krishna consciousness, we have this beautiful opportunity that Srila Prabhupada has given us. In his books, he has worked so hard to translate. Up to the very end, I was there in his room and he translated the last chapters, the beginning chapters of 10th canto. He could hardly speak. He would still translate. He worked so hard for us, tirelessly. He could become so angry when he would see that we misbehaved. I remember one time we proposed to, we had a temple in Frankfurt. Prabhupada liked that place. It was rented. And we thought maybe we should change into something smaller. We should divide this big temple into smaller centers. And Prabhupada was shocked because we had Radha Krishna living in this temple. We were young devotees, and so we came in front of Srila Prabhupada, three of us, and we were sitting, like you are sitting there and you are sitting there, and we explained to Srila Prabhupada why it is a good idea to rather divide in small temples. And then Prabhupada said, do you have any other reasons besides it is being practical? And then we said no. Then Srila Prabhupada said, and even if your child has been born deaf and blind, doesn't mean you kill it. Like this. It was so loud. I didn't actually speak as loud as Srila Prabhupada spoke. He roared and his lip was trembling. He was blue. I mean, anybody who sat in front of Srila Prabhupada has seen him being angry. I have gone through the experience a couple of times. And he was so, his lip would tremble. And he was blue in his face. He would scream, does it mean you kill it like this? You know, and we, no, Srila Prabhupada, no. He said, no, don't kill it. And then he became very peaceful and smiled at us like a father. He said, don't kill it. He said, develop it. Even if your child has been born deaf and blind, does it mean you kill it? Develop it. He said, don't become rolling stones. And he looked at us in a very wonderful fatherly way. So Prabhupada was very kind. He could be very angry if necessary. I mean, when the Naxalites in Bombay were attacking, I think it was in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada would jump up and he took cattle and he hit one of the Naxalites who was trying to pull one devotee down the stage. He could become very angry. When he saw that Krishna's comfort was being inhibited, that we lost the understanding, we were not clear about it, that Krishna was living in this temple, that we can just put Krishna elsewhere. Prabhupada saw, this is Krishna's house, what are these people thinking? We can't throw Krishna out unless you give him something vastly better. I mean, if you one day get a gigantic property in the middle of town, if the whole, what is it called, maiden? Cross Medan. If that whole Cross Medan is going to be given to us as a park and we can build a huge temple, well, the deities will be very happy to move there if we can give them something better, but not worse. So there's no harm moving a temple from small to big, but it's certainly an insult to Krishna to move into something smaller. So Prabhupada could become very angry on behalf of Krishna. He was very strong and outspoken. I remember when Srila Prabhupada came to Germany, there was a professor And he was a huge professor. We invited him. And I had to serve as a translator. So I was sitting there. The professor was sitting there. And he was very famous and proud, but asked him, "So what is your philosophy?" And the man spoke and spoke and spoke. And Srila Prabhupada listened and didn't say anything. And so then after some time he stopped, and then he said, "What do you think?" And Prabhupada said, he was a Christian, he said, 2,000 years have passed, and still you don't understand Jesus. The man was shocked. He was a huge Christian theologian. And then Prabhupada explained to him, he said, because if you understand Jesus, you understand Krishna. And if you understand Krishna, you understand Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you must love Krishna, because he's a father, Ambija Pradapita. Jesus said, our father who's in heaven, that's Krishna. And if you love Krishna, you must love Jesus. So the man was completely shocked when Srila Prabhupada said that. I was also shocked that Prabhupada would say that. So Prabhupada was very strong. He was very outspoken. He could be very strong to a man. Then Professor Durkheim came. He was a gigantic, famous psychologist and world-famous speaker on Zen Buddhism. He brought Zen Buddhism to Europe from Japan together with Father LaSalle, who was a Jesuit priest. So he was a world-famous man. And we invited him to come. And Prabhupada asked him also, what is your philosophy? And he was a very big man. One of the most famous people in Germany, spiritualist. And he explained his philosophy. And then he asked Srila Prabhupada after some time, he said, what do you think? And Prabhupada shook his head. He said, not very intelligent. And the man was so shocked. And then he said, why? Why, Swamiji, you say this is not very intelligent? And then Prabhupada would explain to him in great detail. And he would always come to the same point. He said, you have to understand, you're not the body, you're a spirit soul. You're part of Krishna, you're part of God, and your duty is to serve God. And then the man had some other objection, and Prabhupada said, no, but you have to understand the basic. The basic understanding is you're not the body, you're a spirit soul. You're part of God, your duty is to serve. And in the end, this man, he was same age of Prabhupada, he would lie on the floor and pay dandavat and touch Srila Prabhupada's foot. And he said to him, please accept me as your younger brother. And in the next day, Srila Prabhupada would walk with him. He was very fond of Professor Durkheim because he was a very nice, cultured person, a very sattvic person, and a very learned person. He was a Zen Buddhist, practicing for many, many years. And I remember when I brought Professor Durkheim to the railway station, he told me that I've never met in my whole life a person of this quality. He said, he is on the other side. He's not in this world. He's on the other side. He said, I must admit, I never met a person of such greatness and such stature. So he was extremely impressed. And everybody who met Srila Prabhupada was extremely impressed. My father-in-law, I got married on a Thursday. I had no idea. It was in the beginning of our movement. We did so many things. We didn't know. Like, for example, I was telling Gauranga Priya that we were young devotees. And somebody brought tulsi leaves from India, and we planted a tulsi tree, and it grew and grew and grew to the ceiling. And the GVC told us, this is due to your devotion that this tree is growing. It was 2 meters high within half a year. And then some Indian man came and said, why are you dancing around this bamboo tree? Ha 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 ha! So I mean, we were young devotees. We didn't know. We didn't know what we were doing. Since you like this story, I will tell you another story to entertain you. I went on Sankirtan with another devotee, and we were eating, and I had to go and do number one. You all know what that means. So I was doing number one, and there was no water, but it had rained, so I washed my hands in the grass and went like this. So this young bhakta, he came out, and he did the same thing, and he put the hands right there and put it into... I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing what you're doing. I said, not exactly. He was following blindly. You know the story with the guru who rode on the horse and something fell from the horse? You know that story. Similar. I remember we had a marriage on our island, and we invited the whole Indian community came, 6 buses from Belfast. They wanted to see a white marriage in Hindu rite. They wanted to see. And so I hired a horse. I heard that there's a horse involved. And so we put the girl on the horse. And she was riding very proudly. She was so proud, like a Maharani of Jaipur. And her husband very humbly walked beside the horse. And all the Indians were laughing. And I said to you, why are you laughing? He said, it has to be the other way around. The husband has to be on the horse. So we had to change it. So you laugh because it is part of your culture. But in the West, nobody knows how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a father, how to be a son, how to be a daughter. There is no culture. People have no understanding. Why? You are embedded in a culture where everything is very natural. We don't know these things. We worship a bamboo tree thinking it is Tulsi. Srila Prabhupada laughed very often the way how we were acting. It was very funny for him to see him, how Westerners would act and what Westerners would not come up with. You know, when he went to the Morning Star community, he laughed. And Prabhupada, the devotees asked, the leaders of the community asked him, he said, why are you laughing? He said, because everybody of you is naked. Prabhupada said, everybody was naked. 200, 300 people naked living in the forest. Tamal Krishna Goswami was living in a tree. He was naked as well. And Jaitirtha was there. He was naked. And Subal was there. He was naked. Everybody was naked. It was the hippie age. And people said, why are you laughing? And Prabhupada said, it's just like meeting a monkey tribe. He enjoyed it very much. He thought it was so funny. And he gave this beautiful lecture, and right after that, so many people followed him and joined the Hare Krishna movement. 4 or 5 sannyasis came out of this Morning Star community. Jaitirtha came, and Vishnu Gyan came, and Jaitirtha came, and Subal came, and some other people. He preached among the monkeys, and even the monkeys became devotees. Just like Lord Ram, he preached to the monkeys and the monkeys became his servants. So Srila Prabhupada was indeed a superman. There are many wonderful things I could say. Only I want to close because I have to go to bed in time. I took my medicine in time. The last 3 weeks, I had a lot of opportunity to be in Srila Prabhupada's room and see Srila Prabhupada gradually preparing himself for leaving. And the doctor told us the pains are very great. He said, no one of you could tolerate him. Prabhupada never complained. His feet were swollen. I used to massage his feet. They were swollen like balloons because he had kidney failure and the water was rising in his feet all the way. And so these were the last things that he said, everything moving and non-moving. There's nothing but Krishna. You know how to open bottles, but you don't know how to close them. He was preaching up to the very end. And then the last thing he said, Hare Krishna. And then he left. I remember Tamakrishna Goswami and myself, he lifted up, because his mouth was, he was lying in bed, his mouth wide open, Hare Krishna, like this. And we lifted up his jaw and put a gamsha around it and put him on his asana, and then we all cried like birds, and it was heartbreaking. And we put Srila Prabhupada later in Samadhi. So let us have a little kirtan and close here with the program.